Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Jocelyn. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm distracted. I'm going to close my iPad. I'm going to stop doing that, and we're going to do a show. Because excellent. I'm not addicted to Hearthstone.
Not even a little, eh?
No, can't. That's impossible after one experimental episode. But enough about that.
And joining us tonight, and I don't know why her camera picture isn't there, but joining us tonight. Oh, there we go. Interesting. All right.
What happened?
Way where to go, XSplit and Skype. Anyways, joining us tonight again, because we are talking all things spoilerific on Life is Strange, is the one, the only, the wonderful Val.
Thank you. Hi, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us again. I absolutely love these episodes where we get to go like all total full-on spoiler of Life is Strange with you.
I know.
So cool when we get to play the same game, because it doesn't happen all that often that we get to play with you or get to play the same stuff. So I'm excited.
Yay.
Yeah. Wasn't it last time it was an email, or did I can't remember last time.
Because you guys at the end of one episode said, oh, share how you're playing Life is Strange. I'm like, I've got something to share. So I sent like a huge email, and that's how it all started. I think since episode 3 we've been doing this, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, it's been so much. It's been awesome to play another adventure game on the Gamers Inn that we're all interested in actually continuing. And I've actually
Game of Thrones.
I know. And I was just gonna say, like, I usually go through them and pull myself through, like Walking Dead and whatnot. Like I did it. I had to do it. I wanted to finish it. I want to see where it ended. But like Game of Thrones, and I know I should go back to Tales from the Borderlands, but I have no interest in Game of Thrones, so.
Yeah, well, playing those games for me, since it's the first one I've ever really decided to play till the end, I want to go back and play The Wolf Among Us, which I never finished. I never finished it. And I want to play Tales from the Borderlands as well, so I'm probably going to pick that one up after.
Cool. Yeah, no, Tales from the Borderlands, if I had to pick, it mm-hmm. definitely would be Tales from the Borderlands over Game of Thrones, because Tales from the Borderlands is actually funny, and Game of Thrones is just boring.
Not.
Watch the show. You get a better story. So, no, that's good. I'm glad we're all here to talk about Life is Strange, because it's gonna be awesome. Because some of us more fresh than others, but should it be good?
So before we get into all of that, Ryan, you've been playing some stuff. I think pretty much all I've played that's new this week is Life is Strange. I played some WoW over the weekend, which was actually really fun. We had another AIE Guild event, so that was really good. It pulled me back in, at least for the day. But other than that, I've just been playing Hearthstone, getting ready for the Grand Tournament, which opens. We have a release date, August 24th for the Grand Tournament, so I'm excited about that. But
that's close.
Really, I know it's next Monday, I think.
Good mm-hmm. God.
It is next Monday.
So I'm very, very excited about that. But other than that, I haven't played anything new. The only new thing I played is Life is Strange. So, Ryan, what have you been up to this week?
Yeah, so this week I've actually, we'll start off with another game, but I've been like closely eyeing the Alpha Geek Radio Indiegogo, which is ending. So for those listening on the podcast feed, like, this isn't for you, I'm sorry. For those who are watching live, because this thing ends like at 8 hours, so tonight. I guess if I busted my ass, I might be able to get this on the feed before then, but
But then people would have to download it at like midnight and then listen to it through the night and then
But we have those fans, right? That are super hardcore.
That
but
is true.
But I did want to give one final shout out to Alpha Geek and their Indiegogo, and we ended up putting a perk up there last weekend. Someone did snatch it up, which is awesome. So mm-hmm. we're gonna have somebody join us on the Gamers Inn. We don't know who it is. We don't know what they want to talk about. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But there are other perks there. If you haven't backed it yet, I'm a little biased, but if you're into Walking Dead, you can back the Fear the Walking Dead perk and join me, Bob and Lou, on Zombies Ate My Podcast to spoilerific eyes the new series coming out. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, right. That comes out like next week or this Sunday?
Sunday,
the 23rd, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's this Sunday. And basically, if someone does choose that perk, they'll be able to choose whatever episode they want. If they want to choose the series or the season finale, that's fine. It's up to them. But yeah, it starts Sunday. I got to figure out which service I'll be throwing my money at to buy it. I saw PlayStation had it up for a fee of some kind. I don't have AMC, unfortunately, but yeah, zombies are not 2005 Azax. They're back and better than ever. 2005 was a good year, though, for zombies. I think that was Shaun of the Dead. But anyways, Alpha Geek Media, Indiegogo, definitely check it out. Some awesome stuff. They've hit almost all their stretch goals, which is fantastic. I mean, we should just congratulate them on that fact alone.
Yeah, I think the only one left is like the super extreme, like extreme stretch goal.
Yeah. Which is basically just, it's a pretty important stretch goal. It's the video mixing desk to improve the on-site event live streams, which is something that we experienced at Nerdtacular. They had something there that they were using to stream all of that fun business. So if you watched Nerdtacular, you used Alpha Geek Media in a good way. I realize as soon as I said that, it sounded terrible, but we all know why you're here. To hear about video games and besides Life is Strange spoilerific goodness, I have a couple quick games that I played. I finished Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh yeah,
fantastic title.
Really?
I highly recommend it.
So you kind of came around on it.
Yeah, it's still slow as hell in the sense that when you're running, it doesn't feel like you're running. It feels like you're skiing through molasses. But if you're not convinced by what I've been talking about, and if you haven't seen anything on it, I did do a quick video. First 20 minutes, I'll give you an idea of how the story works and how you get context as to what's going on in the world. And it's just so beautiful, and the story's really good, and it's well written, and the voice acting's great. And once you kind of figure out how they're telling the story and how everything's unfolding, it starts to click a little better, and then you start to enjoy it a little more. But the start's a little rough, as it doesn't really explain anything to you. You're sort of dropped into this world and pushed forward, and then it starts to open up, which can be a bit daunting. But if you have a PS4, it's certainly worth checking out.
How long did it take you to finish it?
I think... That's a good question. I would say probably 3 to 5 hours.
Shorter than I thought.
Too bad.
You wouldn't want it to be any longer. Any longer,
if they let you walk any faster, would it have taken you like an hour?
Well, funny you should ask, because if they did let you run a little faster, like in another game that I checked out for comparison, which was Vanishing of Ethan Carter, another PS4 and Steam game, you can run in that game, and it's sort of the same idea where you're investigating a world, you're dropped in, you get voiceover, you come across story elements. It's more puzzly than Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, but there's a run button, and it's a legitimate run button where you're sprinting. And you know, if you think, oh, I forgot a clue, I forgot to search this little area up there, rather than like slowly sauntering back, you can just full out sprint. Like, I'm talking Call of Duty, pushing that left stick, and you're on fire.
You're gone.
Yeah. And it's night and day, so I don't recommend playing Vanishing of Ethan Carter before Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Okay.
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture has a way better story, I think. I just really dug where it was coming from, and it explores how people would react to this rapture event that's going on, you know, and different folks and different likes, like people who are in love, people who are religious, people who have lost family members, people who are trying to save others. Like, it just explores a whole gambit of these characters, and it's interesting. It's something I haven't experienced before in gaming as a story and as a mechanic. So, and it's not very often that happens. So I highly recommend people check it out.
I do mean to check this out. I know I've been saying that about a lot of titles, but this one seems, like you said, 3 to 5 hours. It's very short, digestible. I can get behind that.
Yeah, and I've heard nothing but good things about it, so now I'm really wanting to pick it up.
Yeah, if you have, and the other thing I would suggest, if you have Apple Music or RDO or Spotify or any of those services, the soundtrack is available there. I super recommend checking that out because the music
not
is
just
really
normal
cool.
Recommend, guys.
Yeah. Super recommend.
Super not recommend. It's really cool, and I love listening to music that is orchestrated in this way, and it's a different experience. Like, it's not very often I'll go listen to orchestral mixed with gospel type music, but when it comes to Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, I was happy to listen to it outside of the game. It was really neat. I don't recommend you play it in one sitting because your eyes will fall out because it is slow. You'll want to take breaks like I did, where you play an hour and like, okay, I'm satisfied. It just saved. I'm going to come back to it. But I do really recommend it. I super recommend it. Super Mario recommend it.
Wow. That's a huge ringing endorsement for this game.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Mario doesn't put a stamp on everything. I'm just saying.
That's true.
I should get a Mario stamp.
Have you been playing anything else this week that you would super recommend?
I would super recommend this little game that we never, ever, 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 ever talk about on the A-Move Network, let alone the Gamers Inn.
I know. I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
so
you've never heard of it.
I'm really interested to hear what you think about this game.
And I promise I won't go long, but there's this little game called Hearthstone.
I'm sensing sarcasm here.
My sarcasm is
just a little
off the charts. So when I was at Nerdtacular, every time we sat down at the table, someone would start talking about Hearthstone. It was like a virus. It would just bounce between people. And then it would hit me, and I'd be like,
I know nothing.
How about that mana, yo? Like 5/5, right? And then they'd be like, what are you talking about? Like nobody says 5/5. So they'd move on, and I want to get better at Hearthstone. Obviously, you know, Jocelyn wants to talk about Hearthstone. I want to talk about Hearthstone. So I've started a new YouTube series, which has actually been doing really well in comparison to other videos that I've posted, called Ryan Rex Ranked with Friends. And right now, Jocelyn is doing I don't know how many episodes we'll do before we pull somebody else in, but you know, we've got a good thing going. The first episode is posted. I'll put a link in here. And basically what it's going to be is it's just a primer for those like me who have either not played Hearthstone or have fallen outside of Hearthstone and want to get back into it. And it's just, you know, get in there, have fun. Jocelyn corrects a few things. I make a few mistakes. I accidentally, what was it, BM'd, you said?
Yeah, you did. Oh my God, it was really, really funny. And I'm not going to spoil it, but
no.
Yeah, at some point in the video, there's a huge BM from Ryan and he didn't even realize he did it.
Yeah, it was an accident, but I've just been having a lot of fun with Hearthstone, and today with the Brawl and the Grand Tournament, I probably won't buy or pre-purchase the Grand Tournament cards. I'm tempted though. Now that I have a date on it, I gotta like hold off until Monday and just not do it because I think I should wait because I want to stick with just the whole like starting off fresh. I'll put money into it eventually, I'm sure. Fair enough. Someone is going to come on the series and say, Ryan, your homework
is
to put money into it.
It's just going to cost you more dollars when you want to buy the big, huge group of packs. That's all I'm saying.
See, I don't know if I could do that, but we'll see. I've got a good amount of gold saved up. So basically how the series works is I'll play a game. I guess so far it's just been Ladder and someone who knows a hell of a lot more about Hearthstone will come on and coach me or give me some pointers. And then each week we end it with a homework assignment, in which this week it was to basically clear my quest log every day, which I've been doing very well. You'll be happy to
know.
Good.
I'm excited. I'm glad. I'm really glad that you're getting into Hearthstone because I think it's a ton of fun. And it's a really good time, too, because I have a lot of people who have come to me lately saying, you know, like either they were at Nerdtacular or all of the hype around the Grand Tournament is just really getting them right back into the swing of things. And they're like, I haven't played since, you know, like some people have said all the way since Nax they haven't played. Some people said they've never, ever played. But they're just seeing everybody talking about it and they're really excited. So I think this is a great time to be getting back in. And it's an even better time to be making videos about it. And I've been sending everybody kind of over to that video. But it really made me kind of realize all of the things that I know now and all of the things that there are for new players to learn. Like when we were sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, this is this and this is this and don't forget this and you want to make sure that you're this and this and this and this thing. And I'm like, oh my God, if I was new to this game, it would absolutely be overwhelming.
Well, you
I
are
get
scaring
the whole new
now.
Player thing now.
Well, see, Val.
I was also probably talking a little higher level than I needed to, given that Ryan was new.
You got to learn. So. You gotta rip the Band-Aid off. And I think, like, eventually there was some moments where I was like, okay, I'm just going to smile and nod. Yeah. She can't see me smiling and nodding, but I'm going
to
smile
I might
and
have
nod.
To watch this back 3 or 4 times to pick up everything, but...
It's actually, I thought, and I want to know what everybody else thinks, because of course I'm biased, and Jocelyn's biased as well, but if you haven't played, if you're looking to get back into Hearthstone and you want to watch this video, it's probably a little longer than all the other episodes will be, but we had a lot to get through in the first one to sort of set it up and do the whole info dump, like starting Hearthstone, here's how it works. So there was a lot of good info there, and if you're remotely interested in Hearthstone, I think it would be neat to check it out and see what you think. I'm back in now, like that brawl that I was playing, like I'm all in. Joust, Inspire, that's super cool. So now I feel like it's my fault we're talking about Hearthstone, and I'm okay with that. So Val, you'll have to watch it, and you'll have to report back.
I'm thinking about it now because I've never played it. It wasn't when it was available just on the computer. I never picked it up because I think this is something that sounds more fun as a mobile game than something you play on a computer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm thinking about picking it up now because you guys are scaring me a little bit by saying it's complicated to get started. But
it's really easy to jump in and play. It's really complicated to master, which is something that Blizzard tends to do really well with all of their games. Like it's super super simple to just jump in, play, have some fun. But if you want to get really good at whatever the title is, you know, you want to get really good at raiding in Warcraft, you want to get really min-maxy in Diablo, like all of that stuff is complicated.
Yeah.
But you can jump into Diablo and just kill a bunch of shit, and it's awesomely fun for some people. So, you know, you can just get in and play Hearthstone, you know, do some brawls, do some arena, play on some ladder and or a casual mode. You don't even have to play in ladder. Or you can even do the adventures, which are just against AI. Like, there's all kinds of different things that you can do in Hearthstone, and it's really easy to jump into. What Ryan was doing was jumping into ladder and then looking for tips on how to ladder up, which is hence the complicated and the do this, and all these other 17 things.
Well, I thought it would be funnier to be like, here's my shitty deck from cards that came out 2 years ago, and I've maybe got I wouldn't say more than 10 packs from the gold that I earned, and it's like, all right, tear it apart. Let's see what comes of it. And that deck actually was a lot better than I let on, because I have been doing pretty well with it. And pretty well being like, ooh, I'm ranked 19, everybody. I got a card back this month.
Nice.
Look
You're
at me.
Not a leper gnome anymore. I feel so proud.
What is it? Always? What's the saying? It's always a Draenei, never a leper gnome. I don't know. Isn't a Draenei ranked 20?
Like that.
Yeah,
that's
something
like
my
that.
Head.
Yeah, I don't even understand half the stuff I'm saying, Val. It's fine. You just sort of get used to it.
Well, that's very well done. So before we jump into our Life is Strange spoilers, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. So we are talking all Life is Strange Episode 4 spoilers, which clearly is also going to contain spoilers from Episodes 1 through 3. Yeah. So if you have not played Life is Strange, then I urge you strongly to leave because you don't want some of these things spoiled.
Sorry.
Unfortunately for me, I had a couple of things spoiled by live streaming by the chat.
Oh,
so
no.
I also now have a cat in my lap unexpectedly. Okay, sorry. So I unfortunately had nothing kind of directly spoiled, but enough information given that I knew something was coming, and I, like, they were just little kind of hints that I don't even think people realized were hints, but there's so many clues in all the other episodes, and then in this episode, in dialogue, in objects around the room, that even the smallest little hint, you kind of know what's going to happen. Like, Ryan, even when you told me that the opening sequence or something like that was shocking. I pretty much knew when you said that. I knew what was going to happen or what I was going to have to do. So I was kind of just like, oh man, like I'm trying to read chat to interact.
I said it was super depressing.
No, it's not shocking.
One way or one way or the other.
For me, it was like a major guilt trip for me. I'm like, oh, I feel so crappy now.
Oh man.
I don't do that. Does either of you have like the screen grab at the end up? Because I was trying to find it just to have a reference.
I don't have mine on me, but I'll try to find it.
The what?
Like at the end,
your
they sort
choices,
of because that's sort of the best way to go through it, right? Is to go with the choices, and while we're all sort of half searching, I mean, like, so you streamed it live. I watched probably the tail hour end of it, and I guess before we get into the spoilers. My strategy with these type of adventure games is to sort of do, and I realize, you know, your schedule didn't work out this way, but is to try and play like half of it, take a break, then play half. And I don't normally get, you know, as agitated by the length of it, right? But you played it all in one sitting. Now, did you feel like doing it in one sitting was a hindrance, or what do you think?
Absolutely. I didn't kind of realize, for whatever reason, anytime I've ever played another episode, it's taken me an hour and a half to 2 hours. This one seemed way longer. It was like probably 3 hours when I started.
I played it all in one shot too. I think I sat down at about 2:30 or 3 in the afternoon, and I finished at like 6 p.m.
Yeah, I think I started the stream at just around 9 o'clock, and I finished just after midnight. And it was a really, really, really long episode, and I also made the mistake of not eating before I started. So by the end, I was tired, I was cranky, I had other things that I wanted to do that night. I hadn't eaten, so I was like starving. I thought that like, the chat room was going to be able to hear my stomach growling through the mic. I was sitting there, and I'm like, I just like, I have maybe 5 minutes left in me, maybe 5 minutes. And I just gotten to like the end of the world party. And I was like, oh man, this feels like the end. I know I'm getting close. I'll just stick it out. But then I was just kind of sitting there going, oh, I don't even care. Like, just solve the puzzles. Like, just get me through. Thank God I solved the whole like pool thing, like how to get into the VIP area by accident. I pushed the thing into the pool and then disrupted the party. And I was like, oh man. Because I forgot, when you rewind, your character doesn't actually move. Everything moves around you, but you don't move. So I was like, well, I guess I have to rewind and not disrupt the party. And I rewound, and I was like, oh, hey, I solved it. I'm on the other side. Go team. Keep going. And I just got into this like real tunnel vision kind of thing that I just wanted to get to the end. I didn't even care what the end was. So then when the ending happened, and we're not going to talk about that right this second, but when the ending happened, and I was just kind of like, meh, all right, stream's off. Gotta go.
Food!
It was exactly like that.
Food, yeah.
And everyone in the chat is just like, really? Huh?
No reaction. What? I watched this for 3 hours and no reaction. I was just like, gotta go, bye.
Well, it's funny because these adventure games are great YouTube fodder for the reactions, but they make a terrible watch for 3 hours. Because I shouldn't say terrible, but like when I was watching it, I was sort of like installing Windows 10, trying to install Windows 10 at the same time while trying to do work at the same time while listening to you play Life is Strange. And that's how that it works really well that way. But if you were to sit there and watch you play it, like most of the time it's like weeding through dialogue trees, sitting there, you know, get a drink of water. All right, okay, well, let's keep moving and walk around. It's not the most exciting game.
It's like watching a movie with friends is kind of the experience I was going for, like commenting on things with the chat room and hanging out. And
yeah, that works.
When interesting things happened, we kind of had a little bit of a chat about it. So that experience was interesting, but it is definitely, it was a slow episode.
Oh,
getting through the first like alternate timeline stuff was really slow. And like I said to chat room a couple times, I'm like, you know, I really liked it a whole lot more when we were, you know, like solving crimes together sort of thing and investigating and everything was a mystery. And like, I like that. And then you get into this alternate timeline stuff and it took so long to get to the event in the alternate timeline.
And I realized,
I still don't really understand the point of the alternate timeline.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It really didn't bring anything to the storyline at all.
No. I just thought
kind of fix Chloe, sort of. And I don't care really much about her, so to me, skipping that part entirely wouldn't have changed anything.
That's the thing. Chloe is not my favorite character in the game in general.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you didn't even really fix anything because when you come back, unless I missed a dialogue tree, you don't even really tell her like what her life was like or what was going to happen had her dad lived. So I literally must have touched every single little thing I could in the alternate timeline because I thought I was going to get some piece of information or, you know, just influence something, pick up an object, anything. Like, I thought that it was going to somehow affect the main timeline. Yeah. And so when it didn't, I was kind of like, there's no point to this whatsoever except to make me feel like a terrible human being.
Well, that's just it. It's time travel 101 consequences, right? Like trying to change something in any way always has nothing ever works out perfectly because when you change something, something else changes. And in this case, it's like, oh, you saved her father, but she had a car accident. There's always a car accident, you know? We joked about this, you know, last time we talked about it. And I think they didn't dwell on it, which was nice. It was kind of one segment in episode 4 at the end, which was really cool. And one segment at the beginning, episode 3, and then beginning of episode 4. And it worked really well as sort of like a bookend setting.
Yeah.
And but honestly, the choice at the end of it was like, you know what? I'm going to be a terrible person because none of this matters. And I think it may have, I couldn't tell whether it scarred my Max or not. But
let's just say what happened. So basically what happens is you go into the alternate timeline, which you have gone back in time at the end of episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
You have stolen Chloe's dad's car keys so that he can't get in the car accident that kills him.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go back, you go forward again in time. You go and see Chloe. Her dad answers the door, so her dad is alive. Yay, huzzah. Except for Chloe's been in a car accident, and she's paralyzed from the neck down.
Yep.
And she's on a ventilator. She's in a wheelchair, obviously, all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah,
I need to watch my language here.
And that's just it. It's like such a tough... I don't think, we were talking about this before, in playing a game that explores a setting and a character situation that I've never experienced before, and Life is Strange is doing just that. Like, I can't remember a game where we were interacting with a character that was a quadriplegic, and the unfortunate realisms of that. And this game has the developers usually when stuff like this comes up in video games, people are pretty quick to point out by like, oh, you know, an association that works with people in this condition said that this is totally wrong and it was actually offensive. And I didn't see that with this alongside every other time you would think that you'd see it for a game. And just Life is Strange has been doing a great job. And I guess they nailed it because it's been nothing but positive. Positive. But it's just, it was super depressing and...
So sad.
But also, it's just weird.
They seem to really try to, I guess, nail... I found it that it drug on because basically the points that they were trying to make was it's super expensive to maintain all the equipment to take care of Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents are having to basically put their lives on hold and work second jobs and have garage sales and all that kind of stuff to afford the care. And her condition is deteriorating. She's getting worse and worse. She's going to die, and she's going to die soon.
Yeah.
So those are the points they were trying to get across. But it seemed like those three things were repeated to you probably 20 times each. And I was just like, it got to the point where I stopped wanting to touch things because I'm like, oh, I know that letter is just going to be another bill. So I don't want to look at that because that's just stupid and I get the point. Like, can I just want to move the story along now? And that was within the first 30 minutes of playing the game, because all of this alternate timeline stuff happens right in that first 30 minutes. So
yeah,
it really drug on for me and took a long time. And especially since I was trying to poke everything and find a reason for being there, it took even longer and I had less and less patience for it. So, and then combined with my experience with the chat room, I knew what I was going to have to do. So I decided, like, I mean, I basically, when it happened, I had no feelings and I felt like a terrible person because I was just like,
killed her.
Yeah, like I knew what was going to happen. She was like, can you please, like, it's basically you have to make the choice whether to help her kill herself or just basically like let her die. Yeah. So Ryan, what did you do? Because Val and I did the same thing. We both turned on up her morphine and killed her.
Well, that's it. I did the same thing. And it's really tough because, again, this is a situation that, like, is pretty heated right now in our country. Like, they're trying to legalize it. They're trying to get rid of it. They're trying to make it this terrible thing that should never be done. And I don't really have a stance on it. I've never really been in a situation like this. And to see it play out in a game, I think it'd be... I don't want to say interesting, but it would be, well, for lack of a better term, it would be interesting to talk to someone who's been in a situation like this to play this game. Like, this game has done this time and time again. I accepted her request because it's like, Max feels terrible. Like, she's obviously just going to redo all of this. And that did influence my choice. It's obviously a very selfish thing to do because her parents obviously have made this decision to support Chloe, but Chloe's in a good spot where she can still make a decision for it. It's just, well, it would have been tougher if she couldn't have gone back. Because she can turn back time, it's like you said, Jocelyn, I'll make this decision, but it doesn't bother me because it's all going to be gone.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It didn't seem to have a whole lot of weight because you knew what you were going to do as Max. You were going to go back in time and kill the dad, and I can't remember if I said...
You don't kill the dad.
You don't kill him, but just you don't save him.
Max was driving the car. Oh my god, it makes sense. I'm joking.
And that, to me, that death was so much more impactful than anything else that happened during that episode.
Yeah.
Having to go back to the original moment when you stole the car keys. Not steal the car keys, knowing that her dad is going to walk out the door and never come back. And then some of the stuff that he says and I'm not quite tearing up, but I'm definitely getting choked up right now just talking about it. Like, that was so much more impactful than everything else that happened. I was just kind of like, oh my God, like, this is ridiculous. I feel like I would have saved the dad and then warned Chloe about the car accident or something.
Don't get your license, Chloe.
But then the mother would have been hurt, or the Blue Jay, or whatever.
That's okay, because I wasn't that attached to the mom, but for whatever.
Oh my God.
Super attached to the dad.
Well, the dad is super cool, like one of those goofy dads, right? Who's just like, you're making voices. Burp, burp, burp.
He's one of those characters that just, you're meant to absolutely love him. You're meant to see, the perfect dad in him. He is totally selfless and he's, dad funny and he's just this fantastic character, loves his daughter, loves his wife, is just perfect in every single way because you're supposed to feel like absolute crap when you have to let him walk out that door.
And it's all in slow motion as well and you're like, oh, don't go through that door. No. But I have to say though, even though I don't really like Chloe, when she asks you to either kill her or let her live, that was one of the longest decisions I had to make. It took me a while before I finally decided. I mean, I stared at my screen for a good 10 minutes because something like that kind of happened in my family once where we had to choose to either let a person live or let that person die. So that immediately brought me back to that moment. And that was really hard for me. I decided to go through with it in the end because I knew that she would have been, quote unquote, better off this way. But it was still really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you don't necessarily want her to suffer, which is what she's going to do, because, and Jim in the chat room, he who actually watched my playthrough as well, and he hit the nail on the head with why I was struggling with it, and I couldn't even put my finger on it at the time, but now, like, seeing him articulate it, it's exactly the reason, is that, like, you know she's going to be better off, because the parents are never going to be able to bring themselves to make that decision. And you know that by talking to them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, going through the house and seeing all the stuff and talking and having all those interactions. You know that they are going to keep her alive as long as possible. And that's not going to be good for them. And that's not going to be good for Chloe. And her death is imminent anyway. Mm-hmm. So going and actually doing that feels like the right choice and feels like you're doing the right thing, even though it really sucks for your character in Max.
Well, a lot of things sucks for Max in the end.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's one of those scenarios where she's like, okay, I've learned my lesson. Now, earlier in the chat, someone was saying that, you know, it might come back in episode 5 where this type of power that she has, where she can go back into memories and into photos, might come into play in episode 5. I mean, episode 5 could very well have a lot of photos that she could enter to possibly stop things from happening. But has she learned her lesson? Maybe that's the ultimate choice. Maybe we don't get a season 2 of Life is Strange. It's just like, do you go back in time and save some folks and deal with the consequences, or do you just sort of save yourself? And I think this game is sort of in a position where they can do something really cool based on the powers they set up, the world they've set up, and sort of where they've left episode 4. And I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but I don't think those little bookends are inconsequential. I think if anything, it's a lesson that Max has learned, and she knows now that, you know, with great power comes great responsibility there. Someone had to say it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So after you make that decision for Chloe, you use another photo to go back to that same moment in time where you stole the car keys from the dad. So you're like kind of, what, 10?
Yeah.
12, something like that. Anyways, you're a kid anyway. So you go back, you let the dad leave, and then it resets the timeline and the game back to kind of the heading you were on. So basically then they did something really cool because of all the alternate timeline stuff, I couldn't remember a thing about where I was, was going on in the investigation. Like I was totally completely lost. So they put you in Chloe's room and you have a board of all the stuff that you've gathered so far. And it's basically like the story so far, like let's catch you up sort of thing.
Wait a minute. The board was there at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, when you get back to the regular timeline.
I only saw it at the end, when you have everything that you've gathered so far and you need to put everything together. I didn't know it was there when you
It was there the whole time, yeah.
Oh, damn. Oh, crap. I didn't remember a lot of the things I didn't remember.
And then I think, like, if you talk to Chloe, too, she'll tell you a whole bunch of stuff about, like, what she thinks you need to do and the different people you have to talk to and what information you have to gather. Wow, like it's all in that room when you first get back there. You just have to kind of click on stuff and go around.
She just told me, go downstairs to the garage and go see something I'm out of this. Okay. So I went downstairs and
anything that gets me away from you, Chloe.
Didn't I just kill you? Damn it.
Are you still here? Oh crap. No.
I really enjoy the back and forth that Val has with Chloe. It's just, it's really fantastic.
I mean, even when she was in a wheelchair, she was still a fucking brat.
Oh my God.
She was still annoying to me. So I was like,
she was a little annoying, but she was not as annoying.
I found her quiet and humble.
Yeah, she was quiet, but she still had a brat. Teenage brat. To her, because she's a teenager, right? Like your life, when life throws big events at you, like you're still a teenager, you know, especially when you have that adorable father who's so adorable.
But her father's great, but she's hella annoying.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the present. Yeah. What happened? So we're all Batmaning it out now. We're finding evidence, we're trying to connect what is it, Nathan to
Yeah, it was somewhere. Three sets of evidence. So you had evidence from Chloe's crazy stepdad, who was like stalking everyone in town.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he was good at stalking and kept coordinates and license plates and photos of everyone he was stalking. So, like, really, you know, good. Lots of evidence of people's whereabouts. Mm-hmm. He was like super surveillance guy. Then you had Nathan's. Well, you had to go get Nathan's cell phone, mm-hmm. as well as what else? Oh, you had his. Personnel file, his educational,
his
what you call it?
Oh, the drug
his
list?
It's permanent record. It's permanent record.
That you stole from the school?
That you stole in episode 2 or whatever, and then you had his phone and text messages and a whole bunch of things that tried to figure out what his PIN might be.
Oh.
And then you had the information from Frank, which was Frank's the drug dealer, so, which... Chat room could not get over the fact that Frank the drug dealer wrote down all the dates and times and locations and names and amounts and what he sold to every single one of his customers.
He's a very organized pusher.
You know how
yeah,
expensive?
But at the same time, like, writing all that stuff down in not in any kind of code outside of just putting the names in code, like what you're selling them, like the drugs, should probably be in code too. Yeah. It should be like puppy dogs and rainbows, not like coke and heroin.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, well, the thing is, I think it's just super expensive. Like, he's living in a trailer down by the river. So I think really what's happening here is he's too cheap to buy a bookkeeper. So he just did it all himself. I mean, it's expensive to pay
still,
a bookkeeper.
Like...
It's expensive to pay a bookkeeper to shut their mouths. It's expensive to pay a bookkeeper not to, you know, to carry a gun around. Like, they really don't like guns. So I just, I don't know.
Yeah, you had to go and get Frank's evidence, which, again, helped you kind of nail down locations and figure out who was where. And the whole reason that you're doing all of this is you're trying to find Rachel, who is Chloe's missing best friend, who has been missing since the very beginning of episode 1. So you're trying to find Rachel, and this was actually my favorite part of the game. Actually, I completely skipped over a choice you had to make because for me it wasn't even a choice. And it's funny because it was such a non-choice for me, and yet, like, I was in the minority of people who made this choice. So basically what happens is Nathan confronts you when you're coming out of his room in the guy's dormitory.
Yeah.
He's got a gun. He tries to shoot either you or Chloe. It's not quite clear who he's aiming at because Warren comes heroically charging in and knocks the gun away from him before he can really aim at anyone. And then basically, like, starts beating up Nathan. And then you get the choice to either pull Warren off or let him beat the crap out of the douchebag.
Let me guess. You did number 2, right?
I let him beat the crap out of the douchebag.
Yeah, but Warren's our little sweetheart, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want him. You don't want his core to be tainted by the fact that you let him beat the shit out of somebody. Like, he.
After everything that Nathan has done to both Max and Warren, Warren has a black eye because of that dude. Like,
yeah, but he
deserved
cool.
a good Warren beating.
He looks cool with the black eye.
But
he does not.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I have a question for Jocelyn because in Ryan and I's case, since we saved, what's her name, Kate? Is that the one
Kate,
you said?
Yeah.
Since we saved Kate, before we go back to the school, we go visit her in the hospital.
I didn't have that at all.
Yeah, in your game, she's, well, dead. So what happened in your case? Did you go straight to the school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow,
yeah,
so that you
of...
missed a whole... Well, it was a very short moment, but it was nice, right? It was sort of your reward for succeeding.
Saving her, yeah.
It's like the opposite of what happened with Chloe. It's like the other end of the spectrum that, rewinding time can have its benefits, and you can actually do some good and save somebody. Because she's really just a sweetheart as well. She's a nice character. So to see her alive and she's getting better, drawing again, going to go back to school very soon. So you're like, I did a good thing.
Yeah. No, it was really nice to see. And again, I think kind of a throwaway moment. Like, you saved her, but her story is over. And it was nice of them to put that moment in. But I was really worried it was just going to be text messages for the rest of the game. Like, it's easy enough for the developers just write a couple couple lines that get sent to you.
Kate's been texting you and stuff too.
Yeah, so that's what I thought was going to be the rest of the game, is the only interaction you have with this character, this major character that you saved, was just going to be these text messages, but it turns out they give you a whole scene. Now,
yeah,
I don't expect to see her again, but I thought it was really nice.
I just get texts about dead baby birds.
Yeah, I didn't. I saved the blue jay, and I did. I disturbed the nest, but you can actually put the plank back. And
oh yeah, I figured that out after the dead bird quest or dead bird text.
Like, who tells you that there's a dead bird? Like, you get a text from the mother?
You get a text from the mom saying, I hope you weren't in the garage because I found this bird's nest and it's on the floor and all the eggs are broken. So way to go, baby bird killer.
That didn't happen. Whoa, what nest? There was a bird in the window that flew in a window.
Yeah. Did you let the bird out?
I didn't even see that happen.
I rewinded and opened the window so that the bird could fly out, but I didn't see a nest or anything.
Well, there's a nest when you're looking for photographs. So if you didn't find the nest, then you didn't disturb the nest. Therefore, you got the right one. And I think a lot of people, according to this this image we're using, I don't know when these worldwide stats were collected, but a lot of people probably didn't even find that photo, because that's the only reason you would move the plank is for that photo. And
which I find, as we progress through the episodes of Life is Strange, I find it strange that Max is still doing things like this. Like, I understand it's tied to, like, things that they're tracking at the end of the game, and it's tied into achievements and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of the story, it's really freaking weird to me. Like, they go to this barn, and there's an owl in the rafters of the barn, and you can take a picture of the owl, but you're in the middle of solving a puzzle of how to open a crazy murder trap door, and you're just like, oh, whoa, hang on a second. Just hold on there, Chloe. I know we're in the middle of a potential murder scene. I know that there is a trap door, which may or may not contain your best friend, Rachel, but I'm just going to stop and take a picture of this owl, okay?
Jocelyn. Are we having another Mass Effect moment?
It is totally another Mass Effect moment.
I want to remind you that video games are supposed to be fun. And sometimes the developer puts these things in called collectibles that you do occasionally look for aside from completing the main quest. Now, mind you, I do understand.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though?
I do. I get it.
Time to put a collectible right there is ridiculous.
That,
at least put it outside.
Yeah, that moment in time, probably not the best idea if the developer is going for realism. But, I mean, I knew some artsy folks. And when that flip goes off, it doesn't matter if you're scuba diving. Well, it doesn't matter if you're scuba diving. It also doesn't matter if you're Scooby Dooing in an abandoned barn. So you're going to take a picture of that owl, you know?
I agree with that. But that's probably why I found, like, I think two photo options in that whole one, because one, I'm more interested in finding out what's going to happen, and two, I really don't care. I really don't care about the pictures. I lured the squirrels with the food because I had the opportunity to do it, and I thought it was cute, but that was it.
Yeah, they're little puzzles, and this episode, I found myself paying more attention to them than any other episode for some reason, which, again, looking at Jocelyn's argument, I realized this was probably the worst episode to be trying to find these stupid photos. Like,
well, a lot of it,
I agree with you.
Really, a lot of it was really slow, and I can see looking for photos in a lot of different places, except for there was that specific time in which is kind of it's close to the end, and it's really stressful. It's really intense. You know that someone has just been there. And you're at a potential murder scene that you find out in the end it is a murder. Like, once you actually find the thing, it is a murder. Like, it's a crazy intense, like, scene section of the game. And you're stopping to take photos. Like, just put it anywhere else. Just put it anywhere else. That's my only
but
point.
There's a bird.
I agree with you. It makes sense. And I did. I pulled Warren, you know, getting back to the investigation.
Yes,
like, I don't think
I was gonna bring us back.
Yeah, I don't think that going into David's files was that much interesting. It was kind of just a distract and go in there and unlock it. I had grabbed his keys. I don't know if you guys found another way, but
I cut the lock.
Wait, whoa, whoa,
you
whoa.
Cut the lock?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
what?
What?
Oh, you found his keys, Ryan? Did you guys have the confrontation where he gets kicked out of the house? Because you said you had to distract him.
Oh, I defended him. So he was out of the house?
Oh, yeah, no, for me, he was not even there.
When you go down the... for me, what happened is when you go down the stairs, you run into him.
And Well,
yeah, and he's looking at pictures of his family, and once again, ultra guilt trip for you. He turns around and tells you, well, I hope you're happy. You destroyed my family. See ya. And then he walks out the door.
Oh. See, I defended him, and he actually thanked me, and he was a little, you know, my Max character is kind of like me, like super anxious, you know, doesn't want anybody to be upset with them, including people who may or may not be a dick, although, like, by the end of this episode, he may be a hard ass, but he was onto something, right?
I
he was
actually regret now not defending him in the end.
Yeah, and the reason I defended him is because it's like, well, you were doing something pretty scummy, but you are also trying to protect someone that you actually truly care about. Not just the mother, but Chloe. You care about them both. And it's just, yeah, it sucks that Chloe's father died and she's taking it out on you because you're the new person, even though you make her mother happy. Teenagers don't see that shit. They just blame the person. So he needed somebody. So I had to, Jimmy, super Canadian. Thank you. Oh,
aww,
fuck me, right? So I'm an awesome person.
Which is really funny because all three of us on this podcast right now are Canadian. So
we're just varying degrees.
Apparently, I'm just a bad Canadian.
No, so am I, apparently.
No, you're just role-playing not a Canadian. This is a game that takes place in the United States, so you can't...
Yeah, we'll blame it on that. Maybe I'm just... I'm really good at RP.
You are a really good person. Both of you are. I mean, I would never think that either of you would kill a plant or a baby bird in real life. I killed the plant too. I gave it too much water, which I am totally guilty of doing in the real world as well. So.
Oh, man. So after the confrontation, you go back and you have to kind of put all the clues together. So you have all the clues from the three different sources on this big board. And this kind of like investigation and puzzle solving, moving into going to the barn and that whole sequence and finding what you find in the barn, all of that was like my favorite part of the episode.
I love trying to figure things out. I think it was my favorite part of the entire series because it was like you were Batmaning the shit out of that evidence. Like, you didn't have a scanner, but you were totally like connecting the dots, and the dialogue was really well written in the sense that it's like, well, that doesn't make sense because, you know, you choose three clues to try and connect them, and or Max would actually react and say, no, that doesn't make sense.
You got stuff wrong?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, at least I didn't kill Kate. I mean, come on, if we're throwing bullets around.
When you chose, like, for example, a license plate picture and chose the wrong car and chose another picture, it's like, oh, you're treading water, Otter, try again. And then you'd have to, like, try again and try to find the right combination. But I hated that part.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Oh, I think it's because...
I loved it.
I don't know if it's because, well, you played all the episode in one go as well, but by that point, I was just tired, and my brain was like, I just don't care. Well, I cared because I wanted to solve everything, but it was reading and trying to find the little details, and I was like, ugh. And I got it right, but one thing that I... relied on the internet for was unlocking Nathan's phone.
See, that was my favorite part because I got the password wrong three times in a row. So then it like super locked it. So then, but it said like enter your, I can't even remember what it was called, but it was
like
this
SIM card or something.
Well, that's where it was on the SIM card. That's where the 8-digit code was, but I can't remember what it was called. It was like your PKI code or something like that. Anyways, I'd looked at the old SIM card holder, saw the numbers on there, and then so when it popped up on the phone, I recognized it, and I felt like a freaking rock star. I was like, oh my god, I know exactly where that number is. Oh yeah, I'm in. Well,
see?
It was really cool.
When I finally went to the internet to figure out what was the code to unlock it, I was pissed at myself because I was close to having it. His code was his birthday. So it wasn't any of the numbers that were written down. It was when you look at his school record, you see his date of birth and his month, I believe. You put those numbers in the phone and it unlocked it. I was damn it, I was so close.
it was a cool moment.
I was like, I was trying to like logic my way. I was using the numbers on the school record to try to find, and I'm pretty sure I had his month and his year, I think, of birth. And I was using those and looking for codes on that piece of paper that were written out that had like one or both of those numbers in them.
Yeah. Mm.
So I guess I was kind of on the right track, but then I remembered the 8-digit thing like right away when it popped up. So I was like, oh, yes, got it.
I actually had a pen and paper at that step because I have a shitty memory. So I'm like, I'm not going to remember those numbers. So I wrote them all down.
It took me 2 or 3 tries to the point that like I tried to memorize it and I got the first 4 digits and I couldn't remember the order of the last ones. And so I had to go all the way back and I had to read them again and memorize them again. And then chat room started typing them in. I'm like, no, I will get this. I can do it from memory. It's only 8 numbers.
I have my pride.
Exactly.
No spoilers. So.
But yeah, no, that was for me a lot of fun. I am really detail oriented. I like problem solving. So for me, it was just like going through, I knew what I was looking for and the parts I was trying to match. And then so trying to find all the little details and be like, oh yeah, okay, got it. And then the fact that there was a next stage where you took all those little details and you had to pick like one of each thing to bring the whole thing together, except for, okay, all the locations, the barn, like everything else is just kind of like, oh, the school, oh, his house, and then it's like the crazy, creepy murder barn.
Yeah.
Where like, could his body hiding location be?
I don't know. It's probably this creepy barn that has an owl in it. But
but it's not the barn, is it?
Well, it's what's inside the barn.
It is the barn, though. Yeah, it is the barn. Of all the...
She's right, but we're talking about 2 different things. Now, before we move on to the barn...
That's where you're expecting to find the body. Yes. Or the holding area or whatever. Yeah.
Did you guys recognize the bunker area the moment you went in? The moment you enter, you're like, I've seen this place before. Where have I seen this place before? And when you discover the file cabinet and everything that you see at the end of all the other episodes, I think, with the binders and the names of the girls on them, like, oh, this is it. This is where it's all happening. This is the place.
Episode 1 sets up this more sinister, I think it's the end of episode 1, or maybe the end of episode 2, but anyways.
I was like, I remember like the showing all the binders, or what I thought were videotapes, but you know, showing all of the things with all the girls' names on them. I remember that. I don't ever remember seeing like a barn or a trap door or an interior, though.
It was just the desk with the computer.
No, I thought you meant that you recognized the trap door in the barn as soon as you got in.
No.
What?
No.
Ew. And once again, when you have to open the door to the bunker, I once again relied on the internet with the code.
I got so excited because I was like, okay, this code is going to be like, because you can see 3 of the numbers are more worn than all the rest of the numbers. So you're like, okay, it's some combination of these. And I got it on my second try. I was like,
oh, good job.
Yeah. But you can actually rewind if you do get locked out, which is really cool.
I think I rewound twice in the whole entire episode, once to get by the pool thing and then once one other time.
No, I rewinded it a couple of... Oh, we skipped
that. I always forget that it's a mechanic.
Yeah, but
you had to rewind to open the hatch thing.
I had to rewind a bunch of times to save Frank. I always ended up shooting him every single time. It took me like 3 times to finally get it right. I was like, damn it, you idiot, stop dying, because what happens is... And the mechanic to solve it was so freaking easy. I was like upset with myself.
Well, it was a word. You had to have the right dialogue tree. Now, I know, Jocelyn, you had a different experience, but I went through all 3 options of Chloe killing Frank, Chloe wounding Frank, and then I finally settled on no one got hurt because it left on a good. Now, mind you, I still owed him money, but he gave us the evidence, and nobody got hurt.
I hate him.
Oh yeah, I didn't get. I, like it was, you know, you go. You'd go through it, and it'd be like, oh, the dog comes out, spooks everybody. Chloe yeah. shoots Frank. You yeah. get what you want, but Frank's dead, and so is the dog. And it's like, well, I'm not going to leave it like that. So you'd rewind, and you'd basically say to Chloe, like, look, throw the gun away. Yeah. You know? And then that didn't work out. She ends up stabbing Frank, and it's like, God damn it, Chloe. And then I was like, okay, Chloe, throw the gun away. Shut your mouth. Just don't talk bad.
What did you guys do? Because basically what I think guides this whole interaction is how you dealt with him in, I think, is it episode 2 or 3? I can't remember exactly. But basically you have to break into his trailer at some point. Mm-hmm. And so his dog is there. Like, how did you deal with all that stuff? Because, like, I mean, I talked to everybody. I knew all about his, like, saving the dogs from dogfighting. And
I gave myself up. At one point, the first time that I interacted with him and I ended up killing him is that,
kill him too. Like,
yeah, I super kill him.
You shoot him dead.
I was like, oh, I see that you're taking care of your dog and you say the dog's name. And he's like, how the hell do you know my dog's name? You've been in my trailer. I'm like, oh, fuck. And he gets really upset with you, and that's where he starts attacking you. And I was like, I forgot that part.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because knowing the dog's name, I think I had talked to him in the restaurant a bunch and found out a lot about him throughout the game. And the information I used was basically to tell Chloe just to be, you know, tone it down a bit. Don't brandish the gun. And it was really just a working your way through the conversation to keep him happy, and finally just talk to him about Rachel in a way that kept him calm. Yeah. And really what gets you the list without giving him the money, without giving him the gun back, with nobody getting hurt, was basically saying, like, look, we're doing this for Rachel. We're trying to find Rachel. And he believes you and says, like, look, you still owe me money. I don't ever want to see you guys again. Which is funny, because the text you get right after that scene is like, we should totally party.
really?
Yeah, he texts me. He's like, let me know if you... Which, when you guys get there, he's like, I'm not getting you guys high. The text is like, let me know if you ever want to party, if you know what I mean.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah, it's super creepy. But I would party with Pompalamoose, or whatever the dog's name is.
It's Pompidou.
Pompidou? Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, for me, I had a totally fine experience. I paid him, and I don't know if that helped too, but I had this normal conversation. He gave me the list, and we left. Like, there was no one ever drew a gun. Like, I totally forgot that by this point, Chloe, for me at least, is dual wielding. She's got two pistols from
dual wielding.
Yeah, like, she's just loaded, man. Like, look out.
Yeah, her favorite game is Halo 2, dual wielding. Yeah.
Just really quick on that part. For me, the way I solved it is that first time I told Chloe to throw away the gun, that didn't work. Second time I told Chloe to shut her mouth, that didn't work. Then the third time, I'm like, what is there left for me to do?
Chloe.
No, I wish. No, no, no. It's close the freaking trailer door.
Oh, I did that as well, yeah, for the dog.
Yeah, the dog doesn't come out. I'm like, oh.
The door was already closed for me.
Not me.
No, not for me. The door was ajar whenever Frank... Now, did you kill or hurt the dog?
No,
I fed the dog.
Oh, okay. Because I think there's a way you can feed the dog that he gets hit by a car, and that means
he's... Yes, there is, because at first I couldn't remember if I had killed the dog or not. And then everyone was like, how can you not remember if you killed the dog? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I had the option to throw the meat into the street, and I chose to throw it in the parking lot instead. Okay. But I remember that, like, meat in the street thing, and I'm like, I don't think I did it, because that's not the kind of thing I would do, but...
So
I fed the dog and in the parking lot, and he was fine.
Okay.
So we were like besties. Because then Frank was like, well, I must be able to trust you because my dog's not even barking.
Also, you gave me a bunch of money that was supposed to be for ramps.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God. Guilt trip again.
Which, if you remember the start of it, this episode, those ramps might have come in handy, because there's actually a guilt trip email. If you sleuth enough, I know we're jumping all over, but this is really funny. Not funny. It's actually terrible. If you're going through Chloe's computer in her, what do they call it, care room, there's an email from Blackwell Academy from the principal saying, like, yeah, we can't afford to put in ramps, so you're going to need to go to these other schools. And I was just like, oh, man.
Oh, I didn't put that and that together.
They really needed that money that Jocelyn took. So hopefully no one gets shot in any sort of important spinal region. So.
Oh, crap.
Oh, man. So then, after you get all the information, after you go to the barn, you find a trapdoor, and there's a puzzle to open the trapdoor, and you go down into this essentially bomb shelter.
Yeah. They call it the dark room.
Fallout.
Yeah, the dark room.
Yeah.
And you find like all the binders full of photos of all of the victims. And this was kind of what triggered me to, and I'm still a little bit fuzzy on exactly how the perpetrator is the perpetrator, but it kind of triggered me a little bit that it wasn't Nathan just because of the volume. Because you're like, Nathan's like, what, 17, 18?
18, like, 19.
It became quite clear to me when you see the full cabinet that this is somebody that's been at it for more than a few years. Like,
not just that. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, to me, why I didn't think it was Nathan is because along the way, they were trying to make it too obvious that it was Nathan.
There was that too.
When you are in his dorm room, you see that he has, his parents are upset with him. He has mental issues. He seems to be really into bondage for some reason. And he takes pictures.
Some weirdos are.
I know. And he takes pictures of that.
What?
Never mind. I read 50 Shades of Grey, but we're not going to get into that. But
yeah, that's for a different episode.
Yeah, but then I was like, no, they were trying to make it way too obvious that that it's Nathan, so it can't be him.
But what if he's the Robin to this Batman you keep describing? Like,
I think he's involved. Somehow involved because he
That's wrote, the Prescott's like, barn, right? So
Well, it's the Prescott's barn, and he's got, you know, that whole Rachel in the dark room kind of scribbled over and over again in his psych profile or whatever that you find. So Nathan is somehow involved.
He's involved, yeah.
But he's not the main perpetrator, clearly.
Nope. Talking about it is so much fun because I'm realizing things I didn't realize.
That's why we do this.
So basically you find this crazy kill room. It's actually, you can't really tell that if that's where the murders take place, but that's definitely where all the photographs come from. There's this whole like professional cam setup thing at the other end of the room,
studio,
and there's
basically.
it's a studio.
It's very Dragon Girl with the Tattoo or whatever. That
Girl
movie.
With the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes, thank you. You put the words in the right order.
Completely 100% thought that that was going to be the end and we were going to get locked down there. I thought maybe the end of the world party was the end of episode 5. Like, end of the world party just screams the end of an episode, right?
Yeah.
So I thought we were going to get locked down there because I was literally, when I was still up in the barn after we opened the trap door, I was like, where's that pitchfork? Like, I want to prop this open. Like, how are we just going to go down there with no, like, assurance that this isn't going to slam shut on us or whatever? But anyways.
I think it's obvious, like, when you're playing this game, it's like, oh yeah, this is where it could end. Oh, this is where it could end. And it would make total sense of it. And I had that a lot in episode 3, and same with you in episode 4. But, you know, the preview did for this episode did show the end of the world party, but I wouldn't blame you.
I didn't watch any of the trailers. I've been steering away from a lot of kind of preview trailery stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally just downloaded the update and went straight into it. Like, I didn't look at anything else.
They always give you like a next time on Life is Strange sort of tidbit.
That's what I'm talking about.
At the end. So I did see
that. Did they do that this time?
Yeah. Yeah, when you skip the credits, I think it skips the trailer, which is unfortunate.
Oh, okay.
No, so that's because probably- I always No, I always skip the credits, and it does lead you automatically to the little tidbit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
I don't remember seeing, like, next time after this episode either. I must be doing something to avoid it.
I didn't see it either when on your stream, so I was like, oh, where did it was? This one was shorter and less significant.
Yeah, it was really short.
But anyways,
oh, the little cutscene.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, end. I did see the little cutscene.
Okay, then you're all good. You're caught up.
Okay.
But I felt like the way this game is portraying sort of the end of the real end of the world, like apocalyptic stuff with the weird moons and the tornado.
Yeah, and the whales.
That seems still like it's connected to what's going on, but is that more connected to Max's powers or is that connected to the bad guy that's introduced at the end of this episode?
It's making my head hurt.
is this just a weird serial murder that's happening alongside Max causing these...
You have to say that they're doing it very well because for me, talking about it now, I was so focused on finding the killer and finding the, unfortunately, body that I kind of forgot about the end of the world and the crazy climate that's going on, the whales that are beaching, coming on the beach and dying there. That was all like, now that you're talking about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, there is that crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
How is it connected? Ugh.
And that's the thing, right, is we have no idea what's going on. And there's the whole two moons thing, and then the second moon kind of disappears after the whole end of the world party thing.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, is it connected? Is it not connected? It kind of seems like the moons might come from, like, two different timelines or two different realities or however you might want to look at it. And there's maybe some kind of, like, shift or crossing over or
like parallel universes,
parallel somethings, mm-hmm. like, you know, something weird is timey-wimey stuff is going on. But I think that there's just some weird serial murder going on at the same time, and even then we don't actually 100% know that it's actually a serial murder type of a thing because Kate got away, right?
Or
like Kate was let go.
Yeah, I think the only person that really confirmed to be killed is Rachel, which the last two final big things of this episode is basically you find Rachel's body and then leave it there to go to the end of the world party. Chloe is just...
Did that make anyone else really pissed off?
Yes.
I was just like, we are standing over a dead body right now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Why is no one calling the police?
Well... What evidently, the Prescotts own the police.
Nails? I mean, Chloe was kind of the person. She was really. I personally believe she was in love with Rachel, but that's just me. But she was really.
I thought they made that really clear that they were like a couple.
Yeah. For
they
me,
they were something, and something. You know, Frank and her were a couple. I mean, again, the teenagers. Shit happens, right? I don't know.
Damn teenagers.
Yeah.
Damn
promiscuity.
Again, like, this video game is exploring things that, you know, shit happens, and that type of shit happens. So it's really interesting to see them going in that direction and having this love triangle between Frank, Chloe, and Rachel, and both of them caring very deeply and wanting to do anything they can to solve her disappearance. And I figured we were going to find her body. Her body was going to turn up at some point. She just didn't, it was evident she didn't run away or was kidnapped. I'm sure her death was probably...
accidental, I'd say.
Probably Nathan killed her, and the real person behind all this doesn't kill. He just does some sick shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's why this is starting to get all out of hand because of what Nathan's done to Rachel. And... basically, when you leave Rachel's body, you go back to the party to find Nathan because,
Chloe basically wants to kill him.
Yeah, exactly, which Max is going through with that. Like, I thought that was really weird, but...
Yeah. Well, she's kind of along for the ride, but she knows she's not gonna let
to her... To murder someone? Like, I thought that was a little... Well, like, she didn't even...
Like, this is the point where I lost interest. It was going back to the school. Like, finding Rachel's body, doing all the stuff in the bar, and finding Rachel's body, that was really, like, if it had ended there, I would have been happy. Mm-hmm. Because by this time, it had been about 2.5 hours, and I was just like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm done. Just wrap it up already. Like, obviously, this isn't going to tie up all of the loose ends because there's episode 5 coming at the end of the month. So I was at the point where I was like, you know, whatever they're going to show me from here on out, if they started episode 5 with that, I would be totally fine. This is a good place to leave this episode.
Yeah, I thought it ended there as well because it kind of fades to white. So I was like, yeah. Oh, okay, I guess I'm going to get the trailer now. And then I saw the school. I'm like, crap, we're going back to the school.
Yeah, the back to the school point was a bit tedious. And I thought, well, they've been playing up the party. They must want to have the party for us to go to. And, you know, it didn't take long to go through it. And I think we both had a different experience where I was able to – I was on the list, but the person covering the list was a terrible person. And that's why I was saying, go
how
talk
did
to
you
Courtney.
Get on the list? I was definitely not on the list.
How do we get on the list? I forgot about that. I know I was on it, but I don't remember how.
Yeah, like the way I was playing, I was trying to be as nice as possible by snooting through all of people's stuff. And whenever people found out I was snooping, I'd rewind so I'd still have the information in my head, but I hadn't been caught snooping. So I think I helped like a bunch of people in the group, including two of Victoria's best friends, Courtney and the other one. So they were like buddy-buddy with me. So they're like, I'm going to put you on the list if you want to come. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come. So they put me on the list. And again,
that definitely never happened to me. Again, I didn't snoop enough in episodes 1 and 2. Like, I had no idea. I had interactions with people that just went way sideways, including the final choice in this one, which is, do you warn Victoria or not? Because you see an empty binder with her name on it in the crazy, creepy photo room. Mm-hmm. And so there you have the choice of whether you want to warn Victoria or not. And then if you choose to warn her, then there's the possibility whether she'll believe you or not. So I think probably all of us here probably chose to warn her, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did anyone actually walk by and not warn her about the crazy death?
No, I
warned
her.
Murder room? Okay.
I warned her because when you go see Kate, you see that she wrote her a postcard, and she seems genuinely upset about her almost killing herself because of what she did, and because she posted the video online, she seems to repent. So I was like, okay, maybe she's not a total bitch, so I will warn her about this.
Yeah, and but see, I got that same kind of interaction with her about the Kate thing, where she was like, you know, I did this, that, the other thing, like I feel really bad and everything else. Because Victoria and I had a really, really great conversation because I had done most things throughout the episodes to kind of get on her good side, I guess. Like we had fairly positive interactions given the fact that Victoria is a giant
biatch.
Yeah. So we'd had pretty positive reactions or interactions, except I misclicked in the very final, because there's kind of like three kind of topics of conversation, I guess. And I wasn't really listening to the question because I was talking to the chat room and I didn't really realize that it was like this big pivotal moment. But whatever I clicked on, I can't even remember the thing I clicked on. It turned my Max into this like super bitch, and she was talking about like dropping paint on Victoria's head and like all this kind of stuff. God. And she was like, "Why hate you? Well, you're a giant bitch." And they had this big like bitch fight, and then I was like, total like about face, and was like, "But Victoria, I really want to warn you about Nathan.
Yeah, your good friend is
she
a serial killer."
Get out of my face. Yeah, and so she didn't believe me, and I was like, "Well, that." Didn't really work out, did it?
I was surprised that at the end you could see that amongst the choices, one was Victoria believed you. Like, really? I thought that by default she wouldn't believe
you. She wouldn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, I kind of wish I had played it like you did, Ryan, in more than one session, because I didn't take the time to rewind and fix that. I could have. You could rewind all the way to the beginning of the conversation. I was just like, oh, I've had enough. Like, I don't care if she believes me or not. Like, I'm moving on. And looking at least the snapshot that we've got here that Ryan sent us, at the time of snapshot taking, 77% of people had Victoria believe the warning, which to me is crazy.
It is kind
of
crazy.
Again, I was in the bottom 20% of players with my either choices or outcomes in this freaking game.
Yeah.
Just a terrible person.
For me, it was more about I had, you know, helped her with the paint situation. I've been getting close to her friends and just genuinely like not stooping to her level. And I know what you did was an accident. I saw you playing, and it was an accident. You'd been sitting there playing for quite a while. I didn't even read
the options. I was just like, this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to be one to talk about misclicks with bad manners here. We've already covered that on this episode. But I think that it was just, again, it was the optimal choice line, and you could have rewinded, but you chose to stick with your path, and that's fine. And she believed my warning, and just that she, it didn't seem, it wasn't like a, oh my God, you're right, I got to get away from him. It was more like, okay, I'll avoid him for the time being until you let me know it's safe.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a overall.
She didn't like 100% believe you because he's still one of her best friends.
Yeah. So yeah. I wouldn't expect that number, like that number is inflated just because it was probably, it was not really a, I believe you. It was more a, okay, your warning is heard and I will avoid him. So I wouldn't feel too bad about that, but that all felt, that whole segment, and I think that by the end of the game, like it feels so out of place because it's, I don't know, like that whole segment was just really weird. And the, you know, the teacher comes back into it and he's all like, buddy, buddy, oh, you're looking for Nathan. Oh, okay. Where's Nathan? And I thought that was really strange at the time. But then for some reason you're like, well, I don't know where Nathan is. I'm going to go back to the garbage dump. I don't know.
See, this is the thing that, so essentially exactly what Val just did is pretty much what happened to me. Is someone in chat said something along the lines of, why the heck is a teacher at this like ravey school party? And then someone else in chat said, you'll see. And something else like that. And I was kind of like, oh man. And that's what I mean. Like just you saying like, that little thing that you did there with the inflection in your voice and stuff, it's like just that, because there's so many little bits and pieces that just one tiny little thing like someone saying something like that is enough to be a spoiler in this game.
It was.
Because it just takes that little teeny tiny thing to make all of the pieces fit together and give you that like aha moment.
Yeah.
And so my aha moment came like back at the end of the world party.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh man, now I know where this is going. And then when they said like, okay, we have to get back to the body, because I think Nathan either isn't there, or I think he sends you a text or something.
He's not there. I
know he's not there, but I think somebody
tells you that he's not
Nathan
there.
Nathan texts you, or at least texted me. And said something like,
I'm getting rid of the evidence.
I'm getting rid of the evidence, yeah.
So you assume that you're going back to the junkyard to make sure. And then you're like, you're surprised when the body's still there. It's like, it's still here.
And that's kind of, that was my second moment. Like, the first moment when I was like, oh, come on, was when they didn't call the police when they first found the body. The second thing was like, okay, so you know that your friend Rachel, who we've seen tons and tons of pictures of her, she was fit, she's the same size as Chloe. Chloe is bigger than Max. And you're just like, okay, so yeah, there's two of you, but at the same time, he's crazy, he's psycho, he's a murderer, you know all this. You're going back to exactly where you know he's going to be, like just hoping that Max's power might save you. And it seems like the stupidest decision ever. You don't tell anyone where you're going. It's so off. Like they just put together this huge, gigantic murder puzzle, and then they do something that's that stupid. I felt was just such a huge, huge stretch.
Well, okay. I think you really got to think in the case of where they're at. Like, first of all, they're kids. They're not super duper smart, but hey, we were all kids at one point. We were not super duper smart.
You're gonna be a dad, you know.
My kid is not going to be super duper smart till at least 18. Until then, he or she is not getting her super duper smart card. Anyways, so what happens is they still think it's Nathan. Nathan being a Prescott, they know that the Prescotts own that town, own the cops. If they call the cops, Nathan will be there in a heartbeat and they'll be killed. Like, that's what they're thinking right now. I agree with you in the sense that I don't know what they think they're going to do, but they also think they can't go to the cops. So they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I think that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, maybe. But then, like, what are they going to do if then in the end they can't tell the cops about Rachel's body anyway? What are they going to do? Just stand there with their two pistols and their 12 bullets and, like, guard the body until the National Guard gets there? Like, I don't understand what the thought process
they
is.
They don't
here.
Get that chance.
Look, they're kids. They don't think that far ahead, all right? I think that's... I really do feel like they are going to go there just to make sure the body's still there and that the evidence is still there so they can think of something to do. Because they are...
It just
they don't know what to do.
Screams trap to me, like...
Oh, yeah, but...
It's a trap! Like, very obviously!
Yeah, but, okay, well, you knew... You kind of had the suspicion, Jocelyn, of who the quote-unquote criminal was... But yeah. Ryan, did you see it coming? Because I didn't see it coming at all.
I mean, I knew that him being overly
chummy,
interested chummy? And chummy in this episode was weird. But he was always kind of like that. He was always just that teacher that was really interested in his students. Maybe crossing the line a few times, but still skirting it and being a good teacher. And I thought that was the case. I thought there was going to be a twist at the end. I didn't know it was going to be the teacher. I didn't have somebody in chat sort of, that's
pointing
important.
You in that direction.
Yeah.
But I was surprised. I was like, I kind of figured he was just going to continue to be the creepy teacher that was just really interested in his students because he cared genuinely about how his students performed. But turns out he's a serial killer. So.
Yep. Because what happens
spoiler alert.
Yeah.
That's when you return to the junkyard, we forgot to mention that, because that influences for me, I wonder how the next episode is gonna turn out, because Max basically loses her biggest ally. I don't know if that's what happened, but to me Chloe gets shot in the head.
Yeah, she's dead.
That happens to everybody.
Because what happens is that when you return to the junkyard, you get surprised by somebody and automatically Chloe gets shot in the head, and then the camera kind of turns and you see that it's the teacher that shot her. So in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen in the next episode? Because I'm alone. Max is alone. And you see, since you haven't seen it, Jocelyn, I don't want to spoil. Well, in the little tidbit.
I've seen the cutscene. Yeah.
You see that you're taken back to the bunker and that he's like going to do some weird shit to you. And she's begging him to stop. So I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? Is Chloe going to stay dead? Because you can't really rewind that far. Who's going to come?
Well, and you can't rewind anyway. That's the thing. He sticks you with something, like with a needle in the neck, some kind of paralytic, something. And so that's the whole point, is Max can't rewind to save Chloe. Like, Chloe gets shot in the head and there's nothing Max can do about it. And then the extra scene shows that now she's the next victim.
She's
it's not
victim.
Victoria.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, are we all across the board saying Chloe is dead? Like, that looked like a pretty clear shot to me.
A bullet between the eyeballs.
Yeah, it was execution style, which to me is, you really were damned if you do, damned if you don't, because in this episode, Chloe was dying no matter what, either timeline, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Which is also kind of, it is interesting because, I mean, it's down the same vein as there's always a car accident. It's like no matter what timeline you're in, by the time Chloe hits age, whatever she is, 18, 19, like, she dies.
Like, she was fated to die.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting concept, and I'm glad they're kind of exploring the whole, what is it, time is a flat circle or whatever concept?
Well, the butterfly effect thingy.
Well, like time.
Well, the butterfly effect is different. The butterfly effect is like affecting one small thing in the past unknown ripples through the future. And then this is more of a, no matter what you do, it's basically fate, you know, like no matter what you do, X thing is going to happen. Somehow there's big events in your timeline that will happen because it's set.
Yeah.
It's something like the fifth episode
is going
to be interesting.
It's all physics-y and way beyond my comprehension, but it's a theory.
Yeah, like timelines, basically, like when you split a timeline, things happen. They just might happen in a different order. So in this case, Chloe was always going to die in a tragic incident. It just so happened to be either a car accident related event or a gunshot by a weird teacher that really wanted your photo for some reason. And I think that's why you were never on the you were never on the chopping block, which is a poor choice of words, but because you never really engaged with that teacher, you're sort of just there. And maybe
he's always in the background.
I engaged with him a bit in the first episode, but other than that, he was always like, I hope you enter that photo. And I'm like, stop pressuring me. I'm a creative and I'm closing down. We won't have to wait long. Episode 5 is scheduled to come out at the end of the month. So in 2 or 3 episodes, we might be talking about episode 5 spoilers with Val. And we'll probably make sure that we just do the whole episode as Life is Strange, because we went long.
We went really, really long. And
totally
we
my fault.
We actually had something really cool to talk about. We were going to talk a little bit about Until Dawn, but I think maybe we'll just leave Until Dawn to after we talk about episode 5 and kind of Life is Strange wraps up, because Until Dawn has some really cool ideas and mechanics in it that seems to be the evolution of this genre. So if you guys want to go check it out, it's a PS4 exclusive title, I believe.
It's coming up next week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's imminent. So we'll probably talk about that in conjunction with Life is Strange on our next Life is Strange episode.
Cool.
Are
we gonna pick that game up? Are we gonna coordinate on that?
I'm surprised you want to play that game, Jocelyn, because it's scary.
I know it's a horror game. I'm well aware, but I'm intrigued enough by the concept that I think I can get past the fact that it's a horror game.
Well, I mean, if you like slasher movies, that's basically what it is.
Yeah, I think it's less scary and more just there probably will be moments, but
I'm sure there's gonna be tons.
Because I've seen a Let's Play of like the first 10 minutes or 12 minutes, I don't know. And for me, a person who loves scary movies and scary games, it's okay. I can sit through it and actually watch it. So,
and for me, I love scary movies. I like my scares to have a really good plot behind them.
Yeah.
And I feel like this game is going to have a really good plot, and it's going to be different every time. And we're not going to go into this. We're running long.
No, sorry. I feel bad. Okay. I'm on. You guys go like way over one hour and a half. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I talk too much.
Well, it just means we have to have totally you on more often.
More often. Yeah. So that you run out of things to say.
So you'll be coming back. Yeah, it's like, so I don't know. I played Witcher. What?
Yeah. If you guys haven't actually checked it out, you listeners out there, go look into Until Dawn and be prepared to hear us talk about it in a couple of weeks. So that's going to do it for us tonight. If you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com, and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torn Think Tank, Zombies Ain't My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com to show off your podcast pride. We want to make sure to thank our patron of the week this week, who is Jacob P. If you would like to help support the show and get us, we are, Ryan, pretty close to our next goal, aren't we?
Yeah, we are $26 away from Patron Game of the Month, which is basically you suggest a game once per month that we will go out and pick up and play, either stream or talk about on the show, depending on what kind of game it is. So if Until Dawn is something that you want us to check out, then we can certainly take care. I think we will end up checking out Until Dawn. I think the joke
that's
is
a bad example.
Yeah.
The running joke is you'll make us play Five Nights at Freddy's, but I would hope you guys would be more creative than that. I mean, come on.
It's been
So we are very close to our next goal. If you would like to help us out over on Patreon, it is patreon.com/thegamersin. And we thank each and every one of you and remind you that we have our patron hangout tomorrow as well as game night. So the patron hangout starts 1 hour before our regular game night time. So that will be at 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll be doing our hangout where you guys can come and ask us questions. You can call in if you want, or you can just throw them in the chat room. Mm. We're just here to hang out and talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. It doesn't even have to be gaming related. Just if you want a question, we've got answers. And then
I have to remember to show up because I have one.
Well, if you can't make it live, you can always post it in the Patreon because we do check there for questions as well. So if there's stuff that you want us to talk about, you can post it over on the Patreon as well. Cool. And then we have our game night tomorrow night, which I'm not sure what we're playing yet. But game night goes live at the normal time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern, and that will go from 8 until 10. And I will have to actually run right at the end of that because I'm being interviewed for Realm Maintenance, which I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. And then Matt is going to be here, so it's going to be a really tight game night tomorrow, guys. I'm sorry. Normally I let it run, but I at midnight have things happening. I know.
Midnight. You turn back into a pumpkin? Is that how the story
exactly.
works, right?
That is exactly how that works. So, Val, where can people find you if they want to see what you're up to?
They can find me. I am on Twitter. My handle is basically my name is at V-A-L. I think it's underscore G. No, wait, yeah.
It is underscore.
Underscore G-R-A-V-E-L, which is my first and last name. And that's where I'm more active, actually. You can also find me on Facebook.
Very nice. So go follow Val on Twitter. You can find us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do so by finding me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you would like to email the show and let us know about your playthrough of Life is Strange or your ideas about what all of this might mean, then you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.